broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that it refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 29th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we're convinced the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America is indeed one of the greatest instruments to govern a free people ever devised. And we're also convinced that, ladies and gentlemen, we cannot have a revolution that'll absolutely destroy the sacred history that we have. We must have a restoration, a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's what we stand for. Yeah, America's got its problems. We agree. But you know what? We've had more people enjoy more freedom in the history of the world with the United States Constitution than any other country you can point to in history, bar none. That's why we stand to preserve the Republic, to make America great again, whatever term you want to use. We want to peacefully restore the Republic. I said Republic, not democracy, by the way. Republic in the traditions of our founding fathers. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. Hope you had a weekend full of God, family, and country, and hope you spent your time protecting life, liberty, and property. That's what we're all about here on the radio. And yes, indeed, we are live for Memorial Day. We believe some of these special days are some of the greatest days to be alive. A lot of times, most talk show hosts take off every holiday they can get. Not us, because fighting for the sacred cause of liberty and standing a valiant stand for the sacred cause in which we're engaged is not a take a break on a holiday kind of thing. It's a day of celebration every day for freedoms that we enjoy, for the opportunity that we have to preserve such and more. It is Memorial Day, so we're delighted to be live, one of the very few, but to us it's a sacred calling, and we are absolutely 1,000% engaged. Welcome to the broadcast. Now, it is Memorial Day 2017, and I've got a couple of guys with me to break down Memorial Day. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You are very welcome, my friend. Our buddy Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, also with us. Welcome back to the broadcast, sir. Happy Memorial Day to you and your family.
Well, thank you. Good to be with you, gentlemen, as always.
Right now, Memorial Day, we're going to break down what it is, a little bit of the history. We're going to break down some of our thoughts on the day. We're also going to break down some thoughts from a few other people that surround us that we think are great people as well. One of them, I'm going to start out with his quote, because I think it's so apropos. It's just, wow, good for him. The guy's name is Robert Peck. He's in the state of Washington, and he's one of the leaders of the Constitution Party in the state of Washington. His name is Robert Peck. He does a great job. He says, quote, "I believe the only thing more patriotic than honoring our nation's fallen heroes on Memorial Day would be to resolve to never allow our political leaders to spill precious American blood for any but the most noble and necessary of causes. That is the defense of life, liberty, and property." Wow. You gotta love that. And that absolutely stands in support of the supreme law of the land, of God's law, and of our moral compass, the pro-life view, the viewpoint that we want to make America great by protecting her shores, but we don't want to meddle in foreign entanglements, as the founding fathers wisely warned. Robert Peck, doing a great job and a wonderful quote. Let's talk a little bit about keeping American Memorial Day memorable. What is Memorial Day? How did it start? What does it represent? You know, a lot of people don't even know. They just know it's a day to party, a day to barbecue, a day to have a great time. And certainly, I think you should spend a little bit of time with your family and loved ones and take a little break from work and life and celebrate. I get it. But it always represents a long weekend, and it always represents, for me, reflection. Reflection on who we are as a people. Reflection on my ancestors. Reflection on my free country and how we became free. And those who sacrificed greatly to make it happen. Let's start there, Lowell Nelson. What on earth is Memorial Day?
Well, Memorial Day is the day on which we honor those who died while serving in our country's armed forces. It was not always known as Memorial Day. In fact, that was a recent innovation, probably about 50 years ago, I believe it is in the 60s, when the Congress declared this holiday to be Memorial Day. Prior to that, it was called Decoration Day, Sam, and it began in the 1800s in the South, actually. In Warrenton, Virginia, in 1861, they decorated one of the grave sites of one of the first of the fallen soldiers in the war between the states. In Savannah, Georgia in 1862, and then Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 1863, probably the Gettysburg Memorial was the one that seemed to catch the nation's interest, because so many thousands and thousands of people fell that day, those 4 days over the Gettysburg, the War of Gettysburg, or the Battle of Gettysburg. In total, Sam, over 600,000 lives lost.
Now, let me stop you there for a second, because this is worth at least a reflective thought. 600,000 Americans dead for an internal war. Now, that's horrible. Absolutely horrific, and I believe was not necessary. Nevertheless, going forward, what's fascinating is we lived literally understanding the different sides, respecting the different sides and the point of views for nigh on to 100-plus years. And now what you've got is really almost the war opened up in a soft war over again, Lowell. If we don't want to add insult to injury, let's stop it now.
Exactly right, Sam. I would like to note that it was the women folk who began Decoration Day, not the men. The women folk, the wives, the daughters of those who had fallen were the ones who went out to decorate the graves of their husbands, their fathers. They are the ones to whom we owe this this credit for actually beginning Decoration Day. And they continue it today. Here I am on the radio with you and Kurt this morning, and happy to do so. And my wife is already out decorating graves. So, I mean, we owe a great debt of gratitude to the women folk in our lives for their dedication to those who have fallen in prior wars. And the point that that struck me, Sam, was the fact that this holiday, you know, began in the South, was quickly adopted by the North, and was observed on both sides because of so many fallen soldiers, over 600,000. And so the Decoration Day ceremonies were all over the nation, which was, of course, was, you know, mostly just west or east of the Mississippi. But in every state and every community throughout the nation, people observed Decoration Day and honored the fallen soldiers. And it was only in the last, 50, 60 years that, starting in the 60s, really, that this and this new ideology arose, which held that the Confederacy was really a bunch of Nazis, a bunch of fascists, a bunch of Hicks, a bunch of traitors, because we can't have that, we have to put that down, right? We have to put down the flag. That was the most recent casualty just last year, the year before, but the Confederate flag took tremendous hits. It wasn't politically correct anymore to fly the Confederate flag, and yet that flag was bravely defended for years and years, decades and decades, because the Confederacy, they were fighting for what they believed in, truly believed in, the ability to secede from the Union, because there was a voluntary agreement to join the Union, and it was a voluntary act to leave the Union if the Union was not keeping up their end of the bargain. So this is a marvelous. It was a marvelous symbol of the liberty under which the states joined themselves together in the Union. And yet today, it is thought to be just downright dirty and traitorous to honor these men and who stood up for the true understanding of the Constitution, the true understanding of liberty over the years. And so, Sam, on this Memorial Day weekend, I really hope that we will seek to unite ourselves with our fallen brethren on both sides of this terrible war. Whichever side, whether north or south, it doesn't matter. For 100 years after that war, Sam and Kurt, we respectfully honored our fallen dead.
Amen to that, and it's a legacy we need to continue, ladies and gentlemen, for America to heal and for America to remain great again. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Sam Bushman, Kurt Crosby, Lowell Nelson, we are live.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Tim Wildman, our friend over at the American Family Association, AFA, he's the president. Sacrifice is the theme of Memorial Day. Sacrifice of individuals, sacrifice of families, sacrifice of communities, sacrifice of a nation. May God continue to bless America on behalf of those who gave their lives for her. Please take time with family and friends over this Memorial Day weekend to reflect on the cost of freedom and our responsibility to defend and promote it. Boy, is he spot on with that reality, ladies and gentlemen. And sadly, you know what? The Civil War, we lost 600,000 Americans. What a horrible tragedy. For the first 100 years, though, we realized that there were, you know what, legitimacies on both sides, and that people firmly believed in their side and what they were standing for. It was a liberty battle in the hearts and minds of people everywhere. No doubt it was tragic. But they understood and respected both sides in the past. Now that's changed. It's a horrible tragedy, and we're literally adding insult to injury. In fact, Patrick J. Buchanan documents this quite well, Lowell.
He did, Sam. He points out that for 100 years, just as you mentioned, Americans, both in the North and in the South, lived very comfortably side by side, honoring the dead of both the North and the South. And I really like his example. He brings out this example, Sam, where he mentions that President McKinley, now this is a man who as a teenager was a soldier for the North, and he fought against Stonewall Jackson in the Shenandoah Valley and also at Antietam, which was perhaps the bloodiest single-day battle of the Civil War. This teenager, who is a soldier, who probably had more reason than anybody to hate the South, right, to hate those who he fought against in the Shenandoah Valley and Antietam, this teenage boy who later became president of the United States, President McKinley, he removed his hat and stood for the singing of Dixie there in Atlanta, Georgia, as the Southern Volunteers and the former Confederate soldiers paraded through Atlanta on their way to fight for the country at the, what was that war? It was in the early part of the 20th century. Anyway, the 1900s there, right? Or maybe the late 1800s, but forget the war, but it, all Americans were gathering together, both the North and the South, and here is President McKinley, who honors the heritage of the South by standing and removing his hat reverently for the singing of Dixie as the Southern Volunteers joined those from the North to go off and fight for the United States.
And you know what I find fascinating, Lowell? It's interesting. We had a war with Britain, and we somehow are okay burying that war, letting bygones be bygones and saying, look, going forward, let's work together for an era of freedom. But why can't we do that with our own brothers and sisters south of the Mason-Dixon line? See, that's what's fascinating, or north of the Mason-Dixon line, however you prefer. Why can't we kind of let bygones be bygones there and say, you know what, we get that we had differing opinions. It's in the past. We're so sorry, so sad about the lives lost. But going forward, we're going to heal. Why can't we do that internally as well?
Well, exactly, Sam. I mean, we should honor the heritage of those.
We can even work with Vietnam, a more recent reality, or Germany, or Japan, or I mean, I can go on and on and on and on. But for some reason, they exploit this intentionally rather than letting us heal.
Well, it's because they want to divide us, Sam. I know you know this, but there may be a few of our listeners who don't. The ideology of Marxism is to divide people, black against white, male against female, South against the North, soldiers versus other soldiers of other countries. They want to divide, and they do so by striking at the roots of our heritage. It was the Spanish-American War, Sam, that was breaking out at the time. President McKinley, honored the soldiers from the South. He, of all people, had the greatest reason to hate them, and yet he honored them. And so my plea today, ladies and gentlemen, is to be more like President McKinley on that occasion when he honored the South, who he fought against, and because they were then going to help fight for America in the Spanish-American War. And so, yeah, we mustn't let this new Marxist ideology, of course they'll never call it that, but anytime people try to divide you against another faction of the society, know that it's a Marxist ideology at the root of it, and it is not the way we ought to be going.
Now, it's fascinating. We supposedly can work just fine with the Germans. We buried that discussion. However, since the 1960s, Pat Buchanan continues, this is important to highlight, Lowell.
Yes. The ideology since the 60s has been that the Confederacy is the moral equivalent of Nazi Germany, and that those who...
No, worse, because we even can work with Germany just fine now, right?
Exactly. But in the 1960s, of course, we were still down on Germany. So, today that's not necessarily the case. And so now the Confederacy would be regarded as the moral equivalent of, say, the radical terrorist Muslim terrorists, right? Because that's the new boogeyman for today.
But you can't accept the Southern and their way of life. They're a terrorist, a slaveholder, an abuser. But even the Muslims, they say we should treat them kindly, right? And it just doesn't make any sense.
It's insane, Sam. It's just insane. And that's why we common folks need to help people have the right perspective. And so when they're pulling down statues of Jefferson Davis in New Orleans, when they're pulling down statues of General Robert E. Lee, who, by the way, was offered the generalship by Abraham Lincoln to lead the armies of the North, but he felt so strong. about the cause of the South that he didn't accept that commission. When they're tearing down his statue, and they're down, there was a drive to tear down the statue of Andrew Jackson. Stands in Jackson Square.
At some point, you just run afoul of historical revisionism, or you kind of get into that mode. When what we ought to be doing is healing as a nation. We shouldn't be pulling down these statues. We ought to historically reverence them. We ought to do our very best to never make the mistakes that were made on either side, or both sides, if you will. And today, the men we are taught to revere as captains, explorers, missionaries, and nation builders are seen as
racist, imperialist, genocidal, enterprising, wicked men, Sam. That's what they're portrayed to be.
And I say that's an absolute lie.
Absolute lie indeed. And it's our job, ladies and gentlemen, to rectify this situation.
They've even tried to pit all American leaders of yesteryear as hating the Indians or the natives who loved us and were kind to us, and we just abused them till the cows came home. Now, don't get me wrong. There were some wrongs there, too. But let's not manipulate it out of perspective and reality either. We were good to them in many ways. They were good to us in many ways. And there were wrongs on both sides that we ought to not overlook, but we ought to not embellish either.
They were doing what they felt was just and right, Sam. And chances are, in my opinion, you and I would have done the same thing had you and I been in their shoes. And so today, as we honor our fallen dead, ladies and gentlemen, let us vow, let us take on new resolve to preserve life, liberty, and property and not destroy it. And I want to reference again, let's remember the war prayer by Mark Twain that we mentioned last week. Many of our listeners heard this show last week, but if you heard the show but have not yet read the war prayer by Mark Twain, please do so today. Gather your family around you and share with one another this poignant piece of prose by Mark Twain. It will change your perspective on war and what to do when you pray. And I recommend to all of us, make prayer a major part of today as we pray for peace in our world today, Sam.
And not only do we need to pray for peace, ladies and gentlemen, and I agree we need to do that, but we need to really take that last line Lowell just quoted from Patrick J. Buchanan to heart. As we honor our fallen ancestors this Memorial Day weekend, we need to do so without prejudice against the heroes of any side who were fighting for a cause who they deeply believed in. They believed it to be just and right. We need to be very, really humble about this and realize that, you know what, circumstance and history and the day they lived, there was a different viewpoint and perspective. Right or wrong, there were good, honest people who believed in God, family, and country, and were doing their best to protect life, liberty, and property. And I hope in 100 years they look at Sam as a good, honest, just man. Even if I may make mistakes in my day, I hope we can look back at them and say we can learn from their mistakes, but let's not criticize, let's revere and have honor for all those who stood for liberty, shall we? Quick pause. Sam, Kurt, and Lowell, live on Memorial Day.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. The son-in-law of President Donald Trump, one of his senior advisors, Jared Kushner, has supposedly been coming under even more scrutiny in the FBI Russia investigation. NBC News reporting that based on information from multiple U.S. officials, none of whom are identified, the report following the claim by the Washington Post that a White House official had been identified as a person of interest in the FBI investigation. However, there are several major problems with these stories. The most obvious is the use of unnamed sources. Unnamed sources. Eric Clanton, a philosophy professor at San Francisco Bay Area Colleges, says he was arrested on suspicion of assaulting supporters of President Trump with a bicycle lock. He was charged just before the weekend with four counts of assault with a deadly weapon and a fifth misdemeanor count of wearing a mask to evade identification. His faculty page at Diablo Valley College reads, "His work in political philosophy centers on mass incarceration and the prison system." You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
For commentary and insights on a troubled world delivered to your inbox weekly, think Joel Skousen's weekly Internet News Analysis Service. Subscribe today to this one-of-a-kind news source, WorldAffairsBrief.com. When it comes to books, videos, health food, and natural products, please do business with the good guys today. Phone in orders available by calling 877-817-9829 or purchase online at thepowermall.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people out there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy, and then you're vomiting in the bathroom, and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid, because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer, and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Even the folks at Parents Television Council emailed me and said, "We honor those who gave their lives." And I really think that kind of highlights what we're talking about here, folks. Look, we don't need to pass judgment. We can look at folks in their day and say, you know what? We believe there were a lot of good, honest, moral people doing what they thought were right. Mistakes? Yes. Let's not repeat them. But good, honest people on all sides of these different circumstances that we've found ourselves, we need to really look at it and say, you know what, we hope we're not judged that harshly in our day either. And what we need to do going forward then, as we honor our dead, as we humbly reflect on their lives and their service and what they did and be grateful, we need to do our very best in our day to really look at the mistakes that were made and make sure that we don't repeat those mistakes. Make sure that we act honorably and make sure that we stand very clearly on the side of peace. And believe it or not, an archived column from Ron Paul at ronpaulinstitute.org highlights this better than ever as we look at what we're doing in our day, Lowell. This is critical to not only reflect on the past and not judge, but to honor those who gave great sacrifice for God, family, and country. But then in our day, to look at our situation very critically, very carefully, maybe even more so critically than you look at the past. We tend to look at the past very critically, but not at the current oftentimes. But if we look currently at our situation, how do we not repeat the mistakes of the past? How do we honor the living as well, sir?
Well, you're asking some very good questions, Sam, and I especially like the quote from the fellow from Washington you started the broadcast out with, because here Ron Paul is providing perspective, and that's probably one of the most important things that we can do today on this holiday, is to not only take a moment to revere those who have fallen, but to ask ourselves, what are we doing today that can prevent the tragedies of yesteryear? And Ron Paul posted this yesterday, he asked this important question: are we fighting terrorism, or are we creating more of it? You know, he begins as a column with the fact he references the Manchester suicide bomber there, where went into a concert hall. The suicide bomber killed dozens of innocent people. Yes, it was inexcusable. It was an act of savagery. It terrorized the population. And it really strikes fear in the hearts of anybody who hears about it. I mean, but then he says, okay, that's terrorism. He agrees, yes. But what is less considered are the attacks that leave far more civilians dead. They happen nearly daily instead of rarely, and they produce a constant feeling of terror and dread. And these are the civilians on the receiving end of U.S. and allied bombs in places like Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Somalia, and elsewhere. Last week alone, he says, U.S. and coalition attacks on Syria left more than 200 civilians dead and many hundreds more injured. In fact, he continues, even though U.S. intervention in Syria was supposed to protect the population from government attacks, the U.S.-led airstrikes have killed more civilians over the past month than airstrikes of the Assad government. This is like a doctor killing his patient to save him. Do we really believe we are fighting terrorism by terrorizing innocent civilians overseas? How long, he asks, until we accept that collateral damage is just another word for murder? So these are poignant questions, Sam. His column is a very thoughtful column. It provides perspective on what we're doing in our interventionist foreign policy. You know, we may have good intentions, Sam.
Did our forefathers.
Uh-huh. And yet when we go overseas and we bomb civilian targets, when we bomb these targets, which are supposedly high-value targets of our, you know, supposedly our enemies, but we end up killing and maiming hundreds of other innocent civilians, then isn't that just like a doctor killing the patient in order to save the patient?
Yes, it is. And what I find fascinating, too, is, you know, you can be critical and go back and say, you know what, so-and-so was very war-minded, a warlike people, if you will. I've never really studied history and went, you know, those folks were just too doggone peaceful, you know? I mean, I just can't imagine how peaceful those people were. It's crazy. Think about that for a minute.
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I guess we could accuse Switzerland of being too peaceful, couldn't we?
Yeah, but they don't have blood on their hands, my friend. And when you look at historically their stay-out-of-it mentality, that avoid foreign entanglement mentality that served the founders in the beginning so well, has served Switzerland quite well, too, I would say.
What a blessing it's been to those people in Switzerland. You know, of any country in Europe, if I were to go over to Europe to live, I probably would gravitate towards Switzerland because of their foreign policy, Sam. They just don't go meddle in other people's affairs.
Amen to that.
And I think that Ron Paul he's asking us to do the very same thing. You know, he ends his column with this paragraph, Sam. I think it's such a powerful statement. He says, the real problem is that both Washington and London are more interested in regime change overseas than any blowback that might come to the rest of us back here at home. They just do not care about the price we pay for their foreign policy actions. No grand announcement of new resolve to fight terrorism can be successful unless we understand what really causes terrorism. They, referring to the Muslim populations of the Middle East, he says, they do not hate us because we are rich and free. They hate us because we are over there bombing them.
And how would we like it if they were over here tampering with us? All right, a little video from Ronald Reagan's speech that I want you to hear because I think it relates. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, by the way.
Sometime back, I received in the name of our country the bodies of four Marines who had died while on active duty. I said then that there is a special sadness that accompanies the death of a serviceman, for we're never quite good enough to them. Not really. We can't be. Because what they gave us is beyond our powers to repay. And so when a serviceman dies, It's a tear in the fabric, a break in the hold. All we can do is remember. It is, in a way, an odd thing to honor those who died in defense of our country, in defense of us, in wars far away. The imagination plays a trick. We see these soldiers in our mind as old and wise. We see them as something like the founding fathers, grave and gray-haired. But most of them were boys when they died, and they gave up two lives, the one they were living and the one they would have lived. When they died, they gave up their chance to be husbands and fathers and grandfathers. They gave up their chance to be revered old men. They gave up everything for our country, for us. We owe them a debt we can never repay. All we can do is remember them and what they did and why they had to be brave for us.
Don't agree that all we can do is that. I agree that's something critical we ought to do, we can do, but we can do more. And that has to do with our actions today. And I go back to Ron Paul's question, Lowell, ask it one more time, because I think that's the next piece that we can do.
His question is, are we fighting terrorism or are we creating more terrorism? You know, by our foreign policy interventionist foreign policy.
And I think if we really want to fight terrorism, the first action we ought to take is a non-action or a non-intervention foreign policy. We need to be avoid foreign entanglements, as the founders put it, but we need to be more like Switzerland. That's something that we can actively do as a country, as individuals, is turn away from the war people-like mentality that we seem to find ourselves in. And I don't mean to be critical of anybody on this day, but I will say this. We're going the wrong direction on this big time, Lowell.
Well, it's exactly right, Sam. And I've quoted Spencer W. Kimball on this show several times before. He is the one who indicted us when he said we are a warlike people. And he talked about building gods of stone and concrete and steel and using those weapons to destroy life and property, and that's an indictment that I sure do not want to bear. We need to change that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to sue for peace, pray for peace, and work for peace.
Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen. We are live on Memorial Day because to us it's sacred, and it's a way for us to remember and honor and make sure that we do our best to be a peace-loving people. Many of you have heard me talk about my vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this vigor stuff about? Well, vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called vigor. Would you like to improve your vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Ron Paul's questions are critical. My questions are critical. We need to honor our fallen ancestors this Memorial Weekend. Let's do so without a prejudice against the heroes of all sides. But going forward, let's make sure that we are true heroes. And true heroes is a humble foreign policy. True heroes are to realize there is blowback when you meddle in the affairs of foreign sovereign nations. The reality is we need to say, how do we protect America? But how do we do so in a follow the Prince of Peace kind of way, lol? We really can't acknowledge what we ought to do unless we understand the Prince of Peace, the Savior Jesus Christ. You know, America is a Christian nation. And if we follow Christian principles, you know what? We defend America. It's, you know what? War in true defense is not wrong. But war in an offense or war in a we go into foreign lands after them, scriptures teach us otherwise. The Prince of Peace taught otherwise. And certainly we need to stand up on the principles of moral or the moral principles that America was built upon. But that's a defensive effort, not an offensive quest, or not a warlike people reality. It's not a build up the military industrial complex because it's good for the economy, supposedly, or good for this or good for that. Our leaders really aren't Christian leaders is the problem. They don't follow the Prince of Peace, lol. We could change that if we'd elect good, honest, wise, moral men, Christian leaders, to be our leaders. But we can't just talk about Christianity in a platitude type scenario either. It's got to be in our hearts and in our minds.
Well, that's exactly right, Sam. I'm reminded of another important statement that Ron Paul made. Just 10 years ago, he delivered a speech called On Patriotism, where he talked about a true patriot. And I want to just lift one sentence from that infamous speech, a marvelous speech. If you really want to renew in your heart the meaning of a true patriot, go back to May of 2007 and look for Ron Paul's speech entitled On Patriotism. He says this, Sam. He says, the true patriot is motivated by a sense of responsibility and out of self-interest for himself, his family, and the future of his country to resist government abuse of power. He rejects the notion that patriotism means obedience to the state. And so I'll just end right there. But in other words, you know, it's not necessarily patriotic to go off to war and fight, particularly when it's an offensive war, like you've just mentioned. Yeah, defensive war, absolutely. And we have many examples from the scriptures where men fight defensive wars to defend their land, their property, their homes, their family, their religion. But when they are when they decide, well, we need to go out and beat the bad guys out in their land, a wise king in the Book of Mormon times said, no way, we are not going to go out and purge them from the earth, from their land, because, you know, that's their property, that's their land.
One of the great ways to articulate it is this: what are we fighting for? And you know what? If you say in Syria or Afghanistan or, you know, Iraq or wherever you want to say, what are you fighting for? And, you know, then you got to come back and say, well, we're fighting for their freedom. And my response is, are we really? Whose freedom? Which faction? I mean, after all, Donald Trump said that, you know what? Hillary Clinton, along with Barack Obama, built ISIS. And it's well documented that we arm and train and fund today's supposed freedom fighters or rebels or whatever term you want to use them, which ends up being tomorrow's leaders of tyranny, which ends up being. And so what are we really fighting for? And when it's hard to know who's who, we say, well, wait a minute. You know, on TV, we saw these people that were gassed or these people that were wronged. And my response is, well, how many innocents or civilians or have we killed, and how much infrastructure have we destroyed only so we can nation build and rebuild it tomorrow? Or so that they can live in a war-torn country? At what point you kind of come back and say, what are we really fighting for? When are we achieving those aims? We're doing a lot better with Vietnam with our attitude now than we did then, to make the point.
Well, that's right, Sam. You just have to question. You have to think about this military-industrial complex. They benefit. They make big bucks. They get rich off of war. And so they want war. It's like lawyers, they get money through contention. They want people to fight so that they can, represent one side or the other. They get paid when people fight. So the military-industrial complex gets rich when nations go to war with each other. And so I just don't see where we are advancing the cause of liberty by forcing, liberty and freedom down the throats of another culture with the barrel of a gun. It just makes no sense to me that we do this. And the lives that are lost and the injuries and the maiming that occurs because of our interventionist foreign policy just makes it not worth it. Madeleine Albright was interviewed, as you know, years after our sanctions against Iraq and where we caused the deaths of over 500,000 Iraqi children because they starved to death. And she was asked, well, was it worth it what we did over there? And she said, yeah, it was worth it. And to me, that's not worth it. Losing the lives of 500,000 of my brothers and sisters in the country of Iraq is not worth the little bit of damage we did by taking out Saddam Hussein. He worked for us. We propped him up in the 1880s and 90s. He worked for the CIA.
In the 1980s.
I'm sorry, 1980s. And then we did the same with Osama bin Laden. We armed the freedom fighters against Afghanistan. We enticed the Russians to come in and get mired down in Afghanistan. I mean, it's all this fighting, Sam, and I just wish that the American people would stand up and talk to their representatives in the U.S. Congress and say, no more. We don't want any more war abroad. Let's not go in search of monsters to destroy. Let's simply protect our own land here at home and our own lives, our own liberty, our own property. And if people want to go and be mercenaries and go fight, they have the freedom to do that. I'll tell you one of these times, we probably don't have time this morning, Sam, but I listened to a mercenary. He came and spoke to us at a class at BYU. He was a mercenary. He says, I can go out in the jungles of Vietnam. You put me against 50 Viet Cong, I will come out alive because I know, he says, I'm a professional killer. I know exactly how to do it. He was LDS, by the way. And he says, I do this so that you can stay home. And this, of course, I was quite in awe of him at the time. For him to come say that, I don't agree with what he was doing, but if people want to go fight and help liberate Iraq or help to liberate people under the Assad regime, they're perfectly free to do so. I just don't like the force of government telling our sons and our daughters, commanding them, drafting them, conscripting them to go over there and fight in foreign battles with which we do not agree. And it's just the wrong course to take, Sam.
Not only do we not agree, but we have no authority, sir.
No moral authority to do so. Absolutely.
That's
right.
A critical thing to understand. We can debate it all day long. You know what? Oh, those poor people are suffering. I agree. Don't get me wrong. But do we have the moral authority? Do we have the right to breach the sovereignty of another? And then you got to really say, are we doing the good we hope to accomplish? And you know, what people say to me now, Sam, is, well, we shouldn't have been involved back then. It was wrong, and we shouldn't have done it. However, now we're in so deep, we have no choice. And that's the next lie that's sold, is that people believe, well, we probably shouldn't have meddled then, but now we have no choice but to meddle. There's no way out of this. And that's where I say, again, you're being sold a bill of goods. It's a lie.
We could just, as Ron Paul says, we just marched in. We can just march out.
Now, I agree it might need to be a strategic march out so we don't leave a vacuum or let, in other words, we've already changed the affairs by our meddling. We could make it worse by the way we go about it, but it's appropriate that we can back out. It's kind of like our national debts, Don't just tell me we got to keep spending money because, well, we shouldn't have spent the money in the first place, but now that we have no choice but to keep spending it. at some point, you got to get rid of a bottle of false prosperity, or in this case, the bottle of false war. You know, comparing it to a bottle of liquor, the answer isn't to keep drinking. The answer is to sober up and come to our senses and say, hey, what are we doing here? How do we make it different? And the answer isn't to keep swigging from that bottle, thinking that somehow that'll make it better. The answer is to make it better by following the Prince of Peace. Now, I know some would say, Sam, you're just living a Pollyanna naivete reality. And I would submit to you that I don't think so. I think, you know what, if we pray for peace, if we live as peaceful people, if we defend America, you know, we do need an appropriate way to protect ourselves. There's no doubt about it, because there are wicked people in the world. We get that. But, you know, there's a fine line. When do you defend yourself versus when do you end up on the offensive? When is it appropriate to have, and it reminds me of the proper role of government. Government's necessary when it stays in its defensive role. But when it goes into the offensive, abusive role, it becomes a problem. You know, there are things that are necessary. The ability to defend oneself is necessary. But when do we turn those defense mechanisms into weapons of war? When do we turn it around and become dictator-esque? And that's really something that we ought to contemplate this Memorial Day big time, is where's that line? And ladies and gentlemen, for my whole life since the 1960s, we've crossed it big time, Lowell.
Well, and there is a modern-day example of what can happen when we do leave, when we just march out. And that's the example of Vietnam. This was a quagmire in the 1960s when you and I were in grade school, Sam. And it was a quagmire. We got caught in Vietnam, and it was a no-win situation. But eventually, we did come home. We didn't stay there indefinitely. And then the trade has picked up, and now Vietnam is a very prosperous country. We trade with them. The people there are happy.
Thanks to the peaceful leadership of the United States of America and free market enterprise, ladies and gentlemen, that can be the export around the world, as the Prince of Peace as our leader, the Savior Jesus Christ in a sovereign Christian nation, the free export of the supreme law of the land, the Constitution as the blueprint, and a good bunch of honest, law-abiding, defense-believing, in God we trust Americans that can stand for the sacred cause of liberty and become a beacon on the hill. Once again, we can accomplish those goals if we let this Memorial Day reflection turn into a forward-thinking, peaceful stand, a valiant stand for freedom everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lowell.
You're welcome. Thanks for the opportunity.
We declare this nation shall endure.